Question, when you hit a wall, a big problem, what's your go-to move? You know what I mean? We all have a go-to move, right? Maybe your go-to move is to kind of shrink away and try and ignore it and hide. Maybe your go-to move is to pretend it doesn't exist and procrastinate and do something else, anything else. Maybe you're a person whose go-to move is to make high-pitched shrieking sounds and do this with your hands. Or maybe your go-to move is ChatGPT. I'm going to go into research mode. I have a go-to move. My go-to move when I hit a wall or a problem is that I'm going to dive in, dig in, and I'm going to go into problem-solving mode, and I'm not going to stop until I figure this out. Now, this tenacity can be an asset, but I found that if it's my first move or if it's my only move, it often gets me into trouble. What if our go-to move was to bring that to God in prayer? You know, as we search through the Bible, we see all these stories, all these people who, when they hit a wall, when they had a problem, that were invited, reminded over and over to include God, to bring that to God in prayer and in discernment. You see, Jesus had a problem. In our reading today, he had this problem. He had all of these followers, some of whom he had said, come and follow me, and others who had just joined the movement. He had all of these followers, almost too many, according to Luke's story, that he had to take time to figure out who are going to be the 12? Who are going to be the core that I'm going to invest this time in? You see, he had this mixed bag of folks. He had all different types in this group. He had people that on the one hand were zealots and on the other hand were tax collectors. He had some who were maybe very, very trustworthy but not so gifted, and some that were really gifted but maybe not so trustworthy. So you can see how this problem evolved. So he turns to prayer. And it might seem like he could just make this choice, but this is not easy. We have to remember that Jesus came into the world in one of the most politically charged climates ever. Israel had this Roman authoritarian regime that was occupying their country, had taken it over, and within the people of Israel, there were all these different factions, all these different groups and feelings and opinions on how we should respond to what's happening in our world. And so on the one hand, you had those that said, well, we should try and cooperate with Rome because we don't really have a choice and it's safest that way. And we don't like it, but it's better than the alternative. And it's not that bad. I mean, sure, they're unjust and cruel, but they sure do build good roads, right? And so in this camp, you had people like the Herodians. The chief priests were moving this direction. The tax collectors, the Sadducees, some of those groups were kind of more that direction. And on the other hand, you had those who said, we will never cooperate with Rome. We will resist at all cost. This is our place, our people. In that camp, you had people like the Pharisees or at the extreme end, the zealots. Jesus had all of them. And he had to ask, who am I going to invest my life in to build this new kind of kingdom reality? And so he discerns through prayer the right path forward. And he calls 12. And among those 12, he brings very different people together, holding all these different views and tensions. Scripture is very clear and reminds us in the listing that on the one hand, you had a zealot in this group, and on the other extreme, you had a tax collector. You see, Jesus knew that this way would be harder, but he knew that it would be better. He knew that building this team and getting them to work together was going to be next to impossible, but he knew it was absolutely essential. And friends, I wonder if Jesus himself had to take time for discernment, why do we so often think we can do it on our own, right? Last week, we began our sermon series, Lead Like Jesus, and the first thing we learn is that if we're going to lead like Jesus, we're invited to emulate Jesus. And Pastor Amy talked about this so well. She said, if we're going to call Jesus our teacher and our leader, then it only makes sense that we would be spending enough time from him, learning from him, following him, that we begin to act like him. And if we begin to spend time with Jesus and emulate him, the first thing we will notice and begin to emulate is his rhythm of prayer and discernment. Friends, God is with you. God is listening, and God is still speaking. God is there ready and waiting to lead and guide you. not just in the big things, but also in the small things, in all things. You know, we need to practice discernment in even the small things. Why do we need to practice discernment in the little things in our life? Well, maybe you've heard of this phrase, practice makes, right? Throw that out and ignore it, okay? Because we're never going to be perfect at discerning the will of God, right? But I believe practice makes prepared. When we practice discerning in the small things, we're exercising these skills and these spiritual muscles so that when the big stuff comes, now we've got a new go-to move, prayer. And you might be thinking, well, that makes sense, but doesn't God have better things to do than my small stuff in my life? Doesn't God have more important things to worry about? Well, here's the thing. Think about it this way. What parent, if your child or teenager were to come to you and say, Mom, Dad, I'm really having a hard time figuring this out. I'm not sure the best path forward. Would you spend time with me talking this out and help give me some guidance and wisdom? If that happened, what parent wouldn't be like, oh, it's happening? And you would drop everything, right? Why would God be any different with you or with me? Right? Discernment is investing time in your relationship with God. And God loves this. God wants to be a part of your everyday life, and yes, even the small things. You know, practically speaking, one way I wanted to share that I try to do this in my daily rhythm, I'm not perfect, but I try my best. I have this tablet. If you've ever worked with me, it's called a Remarkable, and thank you to Lanny for teaching me about this game-changing tool. It's like a digital notebook, and I carry it everywhere. It's got my to-do list. So when I come in the office, I'm not perfect at this, but I try to first thing on my to-do list, I've created a page before the list. It's like my discernment page. It has some Bible verses to center me and some questions that get me to take a breath first thing in the morning before the email, before the task list, before the voicemails to say, God, what do you want me to focus on today? God, what do you have for me today? And the thing is, after doing that, I find that I probably would go most days about the same tasks regardless, but everything feels just a little different because I'm reminded that I'm not alone. Everything all of a sudden takes on a bit more importance, a bit more a holy purpose, even in the small stuff. What if your days didn't have to be just going through the script that you've been given? What if your everyday didn't have to be driven by the emotions and the opinions of the world around you, but rather what if every day was walking with Jesus? What if every day was alignment with what God is already up to in the world around you? You know, you might wonder, why is discernment so important? Not beyond just the big stuff and the better outcomes in that realm, but in the small stuff? I think there are four key things that stand out to me. The first is simply pressure. Right? Sometimes we can feel so much pressure to be perfect, to get it all right. Anyone else ever felt that? Right? We all have. Oh, it's just me. Good. But we feel that, right? And so when we take time for discernment, it helps take some of that pressure off our shoulders and put it on the shoulders of Jesus, the one who's always saying, come to me when you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The second thing is, I think sometimes we try to force it, right? When we hit a problem or a challenge, we try to force a solution through and rush ahead. But forcing a problem today, in my experience, creates a bigger problem tomorrow. So discernment slows us down, keeps us from forcing it so quickly. The third thing is simply alignment, aligning what we're up to with what God is already up to in the world around us. And that makes a huge difference. As I was thinking about it this week, I had a picture of our tiny dog, Benny. Sorry, I talk about our dog a lot. He is a wonderful dog. He's so kind. He is such a good dog, but he has one terrible habit. When we take him for a walk, he has no idea that he could walk right in alignment with where we're going. But he thinks, I've got to run over here and smell this and chase that. And he's always running to the end of his leash and then choking himself a little bit. And he seems not to mind. And we've tried to train this out of him, and I'm like, wouldn't it just be easier if you weren't pulling against where you know we need to go, but moving with us? Wouldn't that be a more enjoyable walk? But I think it's that way in our own lives, too, when we're in alignment with what God is already doing. The last thing is that it helps us connect with one another, right? When we are discerning, in my experience, God often puts other people in our path and leads us to deeper relationships so that we're not in it alone. You know, God delights in helping us find new relationships. So I've been talking a lot about the what of discernment, the why of discernment, but how? How do we actually do this? First and foremost, the key thing is we have to have a posture of openness and curiosity to God's will. Right? And that's what Paul talks about. I want to put this on the screen again, this reading we heard. He says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want to stop right there because there's a lot here. This word conformed, what does that mean? It's like being forced into a rigid position, an immovable place, being squished in there. And he says you have to be transformed, changed, not just once, but over and over, continually transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, the changing of our minds, so that only then can we be open to discern the will of God. And this, friends, this is really tough in our world today, isn't it? Because there is this spirit of rigidity, this idea of absolute certainty in our culture today that says that we should have an immovable opinion on every single thing. And if you change at all, change your mind, that's a sign of weakness rather than wisdom. But that mindset cuts out from under us this posture of humility, of curiosity, of openness that's literally required to discern God's will and be obedient. According to Paul, certainty is actually the enemy of discernment. You know, for Paul, think about it. His life early on, he was so certain of his views and his ways that he was harming others and actively fighting against what God was up to in the world. And so now that Paul has been changed and transformed by God, he knows that he needs to hold on to a posture of openness, curiosity, and humility so he can discern the will of God. So when it comes to teaching about discernment, I have what I would call like the 4x4s of spiritual discernment, 4 practices and 4 rhythms. And I'm going to put all this in the sermon notes this week, so I encourage you to go back. There's like a cheat sheet of discernment, so check that out. You don't have to memorize this now, but 4 practices. The first is we pray, right? We talk to God. We listen to God in prayer. We get to a point where we're praying this prayer of indifference, saying, God, I want your will to be done, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. The second thing is we read. We read the Bible, the scripture, God's word for us, not just then, but now and every day. God speaks to us through that. The third thing is that we listen. We listen to other Christian voices in our life. God works through others to speak a word to us often that we can't hear on our own, to help us see something we can't see on our own. And the last thing is wait. We really love this one, right? Patience is so essential for discernment. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, he's always taking time to wait, to pause, to pray. Those are the 4 practices, the 4 rhythms. What do I mean by that? Discernment comes in these different spans of time. There's day to day. God, what do you want me to do today? There's throughout our week. God, what do you want me to focus on this week? And then there's seasons. In this season, where is God leading me? And then there's the big stuff, right? Those big life-changing questions. So here's what I want you to think about doing this week. I want to invite you to practice discernment in your daily rhythms, in your daily life. God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to focus on this week? And start with the small stuff, right? Talk with someone about it. You see, friends, when you commit to practicing discernment as a regular part of your prayer life and your rhythms, you'll be amazed at what surprises God has in store for you. Because all of a sudden you find that you aren't walking alone, that God is there. God is with you. God is listening. God is still speaking. And everything holds more potential, more possibility. When we start to lead like Jesus, we quickly discover that when we're following him and leading in this way, we're not just leading like Jesus, but we're actually leading with Jesus. And that makes all the difference. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you still speak into our lives and into our worlds. Lord, when our hearts are heavy or confused or wandering or hurting, we invite you to move. God, speak into our lives that we might know that we are not alone, that you are with us. And Lord, when we don't know what to do or which way to go or what to think, help us to silence and quiet the voices of this world so that we might hear your voice, your still small voice speaking into our hearts, that we would discern your will and walk in faith. In Jesus' name we pray.